for 11 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
That's right, y'all. Every Saturday morning for over 30 years, we've been inviting you into our living room so we could talk about your house, home, castle, or cabin. Give us a ring. Let us know what it is you're trying to get done or tackle around your house, and we'll put our experience to work, see if something we've done in the past might not help you get through whatever it is you're trying to get done. The number is 1-888-767-4348. You'll get an auto attendant answering the phone. And when you do, don't listen to the long speech. Just push number one. And then that'll put you right here in the studio with sweet Jennifer, my wife, who's in the call screener booth. And she'll get your name and your question. We'll, Romy and I, who's in the studio with me right now, we'll get to work and try and get your question answered just as quick as we can. Hey, we're coming up on the deadline for homeowners to submit photographs for the 2021 Rosie calendar, right? And then we were going to do something about recipes. I tell you what, Jennifer and I were able to go on a little fishing trip last week down to Louisiana. And there are three recipes I've never eaten. And I've got to find them. They had a praline fried shrimp with a horseradish aioli sauce. And it was just an appetizer. I could have ordered six of those appetizers. I just had dinner with that. It was absolutely to die for. And then I'd never had crawfish Monica. That was fantastic.
I can tell you some history about that. The New Orleans Jazz Festival, every year, I mean, the food court there is amazing. But many years ago, a lady came up with a recipe for crawfish Monica. And the basis of it is crawfish, rotini pasta, cheese, and seasoning. And it's the hit of the whole Jazz Festival.
It was absolutely delicious. But the creme de la creme, Romy, was a deep fried apple pie. Served a la mode.
So, do you cook it and then deep fry it, or do you get your apple pie done and then drop it in the deep fryer?
I have no idea. But we were in the little town of Natchitoches, Louisiana. We were fishing at Toledo Bend. We got to go, and Natchitoches is the oldest town in Louisiana, and the architecture is absolutely fabulous. It dates back to the late 1600s with a fort that was there. And we went into the oldest continuously operated hardware store in the South. And it was so cool. They had things in there that I haven't seen in years. The cash register is from 1901, and they still use it to check you out today. It was a lot of fun, a good little trip. And I don't know what y'all are hearing about air flight travel, but our flight to Dallas and home from Dallas, both flights were booked, no empty seats, and both were oversold, where the airline was asking you to take a travel coupon to get your butt out of the seat and make room for somebody else. So no mask required at Dallas-Fort Worth, mask required at Sky Harbor. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, so we're back.
So you had a good trip, and you got a couple fish recipes to try out.
Yeah, we've got some recipes to try out for sure. And like you were saying with John Jay, summer solstice, today at 2:43, longest day of the year. From this point, for the next 6 months, it's just going to get shorter and shorter and cooler and cooler. Just think about that. Winter's on the way.
You got something to hang on to there. 9 o'clock is our On the House Hour, where we spend the hour talking about something on your home, castle, or cabin. If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-Rosie for you. Text questions can be sent to 411-923. 3 or email info@rosieonthehouse.com. And we're talking this hour about keeping it cool. If you get our email newsletter, subscribe to our blog, you've had a chance to preview what we're talking about today, which is reducing the heat gain to your home, castle, or cabin. The more heat we can reduce from it, obviously, the less our air conditioning units have to work to keep it cool. And we talked about it a little bit last week. You really have to look at your energy bill first to understand what you're trying to save off of. You know, you look at an energy bill, there's 15 line items that you can never do anything about. You can't make the environment taxes go away. You can't make the distribution fee go away. You can't make the this fee to that fee. You know, the first 80, 90 bucks of your electric bill is all just fees and distribution and processing. It doesn't have anything to do with what you're consuming on your panel. So you have to look at the kilowatt use hours, and that's what you're going to be working to reduce. And what those numbers are in the summer are a lot less than what they are in the winter. So as you're reducing heat gain, as you're trying to cut your bill, you know, don't get in the mindset if you've got a $400 bill and you're going to try and cut it in half to $200. Well, that's not realistic. You know, you're really only going to cut, you know, maybe $80, $90 off of that, because your cooling cost of that $400 is probably not over $300 of it. It's probably closer to two, and to cut that in half, you're only going to be saving $100.
When people want to start talking to me about ideas they have for saving money in the summer, the first thing I have them do is get their energy bill out. And I say, how many kilowatts did you consume last July? What was your bill? And you know what? If you're under 15 cents a kilowatt, you're doing pretty good. Now, through smart management, we can cut that 30% and get it under 10%. But you're going to have to be willing to work with me and try a few things that don't necessarily cost money. But we can get you to under or right at 10 cents a kilowatt. If your 2,000 square foot home and you're burning through about 2,000 kW hours a month, and your bill in the middle of the summer is about $250, $300, that's about as good as you're going to get if you want a return on investment. You can spend a lot of money and get that down to $200, but remember, you're only saving that through the hot months, so be careful. And it's a topic I want to talk about a little bit later, but it's a new dimension that I've just kind of discovered this week. It's the science of shade. Shade is really a pretty complicated thing, but I'm going to go into it later about things you can do about shading that will cut the heat gain down on your house. We've got callers lining up. We've got Alan calling. Let's see if we can welcome him into the conversation, see if we can help him out a little bit. Mr. Alan.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Hey.
I've got a single-level house. 1600 square feet, but the it's tile roof, concrete tile, and I've noticed this year in particular a whole lot of the nails, the anchoring nails, are backing out, and I was just wondering if that's meaning that my underlayment is starting to go bad or something.
Are you finding the nails on the ground? They're backing out, rolling off the roof.
I see them hanging out about half, three quarters of an inch, sticking out.
Okay, that
all the way around the house.
Okay, Alan, that doesn't particularly worry me too much. But I will tell you this: for the West Valley, why don't you give the Rosie Certified Roofer Pinnacle Roofing a call? They'll come out and do a little free inspection for you and verify that you don't have anything to worry about. What most people don't know about tile roofs is only the first two or three rows are nailed down. All the rest of them, sometimes in the valleys they're secured, but all the rest of those tile are just held in place by gravity. And a lot of people don't believe me when I tell them that, but for the great majority of tile roofs, they only nail the first couple tile up from the eave.
Just to keep the tile from sliding off, and then the rest just hold itself down.
Stack them up, 1, 2, 3. So give Pinnacle Roofing a call, Alan. Let them know we talked on air, and have Brandon get out there and take a look at it, or one of his guys do a drive-by and just verify. Take a look at the underlayment and see what kind of condition and lifespan you've got left in that, and do an overall pre-monsoon checklist.
On roofing, we had a question a few weeks ago when we talked about monsoon prep and roofing. Somebody said, you know, you guys went through all those types of roofing but did not mention metal roof. What do you think about metal roofs? And a metal roof is a great way to shade your roof. It naturally has airflow underneath it, the way the, you know, you're not putting it on a flat sheet. There's always a dented design that ridge gives it its form and its shape and its strength. And it has a natural airflow, and it's great. The problem is the material for a metal roofing is just very few people can make that investment. You can have a professional roofing contractor tear off and re-roof an asphalt shingle for less money than to buy the materials for a metal roof.
I mean, yeah.
They're expensive, but if you can't afford it and you do like the look of it, me personally are a big fan of a metal roofing system. And they do not reflect heat into the home. They actually help reflect it out. And like I said, it creates an airspace between your sheathing and the waterproofing, which is the tin. And that airflow underneath helps keep your home cooler. That is a shading roof system.
And if you're looking and considering metal roofs, I can tell you this. You buy it by the gauge, by the thickness. And many times a roofer will, in an attempt to meet a homeowner's budget, quote a 29-gauge roof. And my personal opinion is that's a little bit too thin. If you're going to invest in a metal roof, get to the 26-gauge at least. So you're hoping to be buying your last roof when you buy a metal roof. A 29-gauge, particularly if you have any trees in the area at all, is a little bit thin. So that's just my one thought on metal roofs.